Welcome to It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Coplin. Featuring out and about, thought-provoking conversations on the street. We consider topics with local relevance and global significance. And now, here's your host for It's a Question of Balance, Ruth Coplin.
Welcome to the show where we balance the intellectual with the creative and explore whether we have more in common than divides us through thought-provoking conversations. For the Arts Hour, I feature in-depth interviews with local, national and international guests from all areas of the arts. And for the Topic Hour, I feature interviews on a wide variety of different subjects that affect us all both locally and globally. And the show combines a debate topic with an arts interview because I feel discussion and creativity are two of the most vital ways we engage with the world. Now, usually for the Topic Hour, I go out and about and talk to people on the street. However, for this week's topic, I'm breaking with that format slightly. Our question this week is, are the arts important in education? And this show, It's a Question of Balance, aims to combine the intellectual with the creative. And so this question, are the arts important in education, is of particular interest to me. A couple of weeks ago, I featured award-winning writer Betsy Franco and some of the high school students who had made a full-length feature film, Metamorphosis Junior Year, in collaboration with the actor James Franco. The film is the first philanthropic event of the studio Elysium Bandini, which supports emerging artists. And Metamorphosis Junior Year follows Ovid, an angsty teenage boy trying to make sense of life, love, sexuality and friends, and is based on the young adult novel of the same name by Betsy Franco. And the novel and film demonstrate how powerful the arts can be in the lives of young people as they move towards individuation, particularly when struggling with difficult issues such as family troubles or perhaps drug use and self-abuse. And both the story of the film and the actuality of the real-life students making a feature film relate to this week's topic. So later in the show, I'll be featuring the thoughts of Betsy Franco and the students on arts in education. First, though, I'm very happy to have an accomplished educator with me in the studio to ponder on our topic question this week. Are the arts important in education? Head of Gateway School in Santa Cruz, California, Dr. Zachary Roberts has a BA degree from Stanford and a doctorate in educational leadership from Mills College in Oakland. Prior to taking up the headship at Gateway, Zach taught and led at the Berkeley School and was an assisting visiting professor in the Graduate School of Education at Mills College. Zach has also served as a trustee and on accreditation teams for various educational establishments and organizations. Welcome to the show, Zach.
Thank you for having me, Ruth.
It was a lovely day today.
Beautiful.
After all this rain. So, thinking about the arts in education, arts used to have a different place in society. The ancient Chinese, for example, believed that all civilizations were shaped by the kind of music performed within them. The Tang Dynasty kept 14 court orchestras to ensure the vibrations of their empire were auspicious. Confucius believed that music had a hidden significance, which made it one of the most important things in life, possessing tremendous power for good or evil. But it seems today that the arts are viewed predominantly as entertainment, and in education, the arts are viewed as a bit of a luxury. They're always first on the list for budget cuts, and they're often seen as a sort of pleasant add-on, but not essential to preparation for getting a job. So I'm just wondering, as a head of school, what are your thoughts on how important arts are in education?
Well, I think arts are critically important in education. And you're right that oftentimes they are first on the chopping block. I think people either don't understand or undervalue the contribution to child development than the role that arts play. There's great neuroscience now and research through fMRI machines about brain activation that shows that when a brain is engaged in imagination, all of the different parts of the brain are firing. It's a really unique neurological state that can't be underestimated in terms of how it's helping create neural networks. And imagination is one of the ways that human beings also develop empathy and compassion, the ability to gain perspective, to see the world from the point of view of others. And so both on an individual level for personal emotional strength and self-expression and the idea of agency to be able to bring your ideas into the world. And then also on an interpersonal level, on a societal level, to understand and be in dialogue with others and have compassion for them, I think arts are crucially important.
Mm. You're talking a lot about the imagination, and I had a wonderful lady, Azar Nafisi, on the show, who's written a book called The Republic of the Imagination, defending the need for fiction in education. Mm-hmm. She also wrote Reading Lolita in Tehran, which you may have heard of. And, you know, with the core curriculum, certainly in public education, emphasizing nonfiction reading and analytical writing over fiction and creative writing. What are your thoughts on the role of fiction in students' education, you know, specifically?
Yeah, well, there's a lot about the Common Core State Standards that I really do like. I think that, by and large, they've pushed education for depth over breadth of coverage, right? You hear a mile wide and an inch deep. And I think from the realm of critical thinking, they have become much more student-centered. The language arts standards that they are really emphasizing, writing for self-expression. But I think you hit on one of the great weaknesses, which is that they really emphasize nonfiction reading and writing, informational text. And I think a lot of that is driven, frankly, by the career emphasis that has played a role as in the development of those standards. The Common Core State Standards, were they're not a federal program. I think a lot of people misunderstand that as well. It came out of the National Governors Association. It was 45 states and the District of Columbia that have adopted them, but it came out of the governors. And, you know, here in California, we had a very good set of state standards. I think California and Massachusetts were often looked to as two of the more highly regarded state standards. Well, I think Common Core has done a lot around the country in terms of emphasizing student voice, but they're missing poetry, they're missing drama, they're missing lyric, they're missing short stories. And so children really aren't necessarily getting the exposure they need, both to reading across all those forms of creative writing. And fiction plays a unique role in the development of children's understanding of narrative. So learning about the arc of a plot and how there's tension, rising action, climax, denouement, that whole idea of the arc of a storyline helps create the idea for kids that they can not simply live in the moment, right? Kids are wonderful at being present hedonists. We adults, unfortunately, are too often thinking about the future. But with children, actually, we want them to develop executive function, and we want them to develop the ability to predict, to think about the consequences of their actions, to be have forethought. And actually understanding the structure of a story on a fictional level can help make sense of that. It also really helps when you start looking at the ideas of setting and character, and then getting into theme. And I started my career as an educator as a middle school English and language arts teachers. So really teaching kids about theme and sort of the deeper ideas. You know, you say, what's a book about? Well, it's about a boy. No, what's it about? Okay. And you start going beyond the place and the people and the time to get at those ideas. I mean, I had a transformative experience as myself as a white educator teaching Huck Finn in Berkeley, and really being able to raise the issue of race and social justice, you know, in the 2000s with kids through that context of literature. So introducing them into really big ideas that society is grappling with as well, and literature serves a very important purpose in K-12.
Well, I think what you mentioned earlier about empathy. I mean, I think fiction is one of the ways that, that people can really be drawn into a story. I mean, you can read a sort of sad story, you know, a nonfiction about somebody's life, but I think often reading it in the context of a fictional setting just often grabs people more. They can get into the minds of those characters in a way that perhaps they wouldn't just in a biography or something like that. And then also I'm a big fan of just creative writing for self-expression, you know, which helps you to know yourself better, which I think is a really important thing for success in all areas of life. Would you agree with that?
I would. Many children will try to write a story. They'll say, I'm going to write a book. There's actually a lovely approach to writing how-to books. Those are nonfiction books through the Readers and Writers Workshop, Lucy Calkins of Columbia. But many children launch into a story and run out of steam and get frustrated and turn off to writing. And so that's where really breaking it down and understanding how to build a story arc can help them think about organizing and expressing their thoughts. And I'm just thinking about a book I got this weekend. My 4-year-old daughter was given this weekend called Not Quite Narwhal. That's about a unicorn that's born underwater and realizes it's not a narwhal. It goes on land and sees all these other unicorns and is trying to decide which one should I be. Should I be a sea unicorn or a land narwhal? And, you know, beautifully told with these pictures. And the point, you know, for my 4-year-old daughter to get this reinforcement that you can be yourself and that you don't have to try to fit into the boxes of others yet, even in her, you know, early literacy stages is wonderful.
Yeah. And I know later as we'll hear when I'm talking to the students, I was trying to remember the Einstein quote, which of course is imagination is more important than knowledge.
That's right.
And, you know, you look at areas like physics, quantum physics, you are having to reach outside of what is known in order to even imagine what might be there, even in what we think of as very hard science. So in that sense, you know, that the imagination comes into areas that I think people don't often think it does.
That's right. And the counterpoint to that is Twyla Tharp, to think outside of the box, you have to start with the box. There's something to be said for really understanding technique and structure and form. I love thinking as a writer and as a teacher of writing about the connection between form and content. The wonderful poem Rapophasagar by E.E. Cummings, who really explored and exploded written forms, or Swan and Shadow, that gorgeous poem by, I'm forgetting, John is the poet's last name now. Anyway, exploring those sorts of connections as well really open children's eyes and students' eyes to the possibility and help them understand, you know, I have a story to tell. I have work to do in the world. What's the right form for me to use that? Whether it's a movie, and I can't wait to see the movie. Hearing you describe it sounded wonderful.
We're going to go to a break now, but if you just joined us, I'm talking to my guest this week, Dr. Zachary Roberts, head of school from Gateway School in Santa Cruz, California, and he's giving some thoughts about our topic this week, are the arts important in education? We'll be back with more conversation after these messages.
Do you like the music from It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Copeland? Have you ever wondered what the full songs sound like? Now you can find out by listening to the new EP, It's a Question of Balance Music, available from iTunes, Amazon, and itsaquestionofbalance.com.
No white horses to play the game, and I wish I knew your name. Something about
It's a Question of Balance Music. Download individual tracks or the whole EP from iTunes, Amazon, or itsaquestionofbalance.com.
Ciao, I'm Luca from Tramonti at 528 Seabright Avenue, steps from the ocean. We are the authentic Italian pizza and pasta restaurant, serving also organic salad and house-made desserts in a friendly family-style atmosphere, indoor or on our lovely patio.
Tramonti is open every day from noon to 9 and later on Fridays and Saturdays. Come enjoy our specials every Tuesday neighborhood night and the best deal for a healthy bite at lunch every day.
We bake our bread and prep our fresh pasta and pizza daily. Beppe, Daniel and I want to say grazie to the Santa Cruz community for supporting us in the past 2 years. Allora, buon appetito!
Visit Luca and Beppe at Tremonti, 528 Seabright Avenue. That's Tremonti, 528 Seabright Avenue.
Welcome back. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and our topic discussion this week, are the arts important in education? And my guest in the studio is Dr. Zachary Roberts, or Zach, who is the head of Gateway School, an independent school here in Santa Cruz, California. So, Zach, before the break, we were having quite the discussion about the place of arts in education. I wanted to ask you, this show, It's a Question of Balance, it is interested in the intellectual and the creative, what some may call the left and the right brain. It seems that often in life, creativity is separated out from what is termed more rational, realistic or intellectual pursuits. We've been discussing that a bit. Why do you think there is this common divide between the arts and what are seen as kind of practical, real world pursuits? Is it somewhat how we define success that's to do with it, or...
Yeah, well, I think that's a modern manifestation of that. Certainly in some narratives, it's about economic success and independence. And I think we want that for our children. And the question is, what is the future going to look like? What will the world look like? And so as science and math have, you know, you go back to Sputnik and the space race and how that dramatically changed American education. You can look at the 1983 report, A Nation at Risk, which compared falling American test scores internationally, and that dramatically, again, changed education and No Child Left Behind. You know, the emphasis on standardized tests as a form for measuring children's success. I always say you need to weigh the chicken, or excuse me, you need to feed the chicken, not weigh the chicken, if you want it to grow. And, you know, standardized tests have their history 100 years ago, really in a eugenics-based racial discrimination attempt keep African-Americans out of the Army. If you look at the history of that, this idea that this is a format for testing children's success. But it goes back further. You look at the Descartes and the mind-body. You go back to the ancient Greeks and the way that they conceived of the world, the idea of the Platonic ideal that could never be manifest. I think this is... humanity has wrestled in different times and cultures across history with the role of the heart and the mind and emotions, and so it's trying to separate the rational and irrational. But you know, right? Let's go back to ancient China where you started the show, and the yin yang. They complement each other and form a whole, and within each is the other.
Yes, I mean that's certainly the way I would look at it. I think they are sort of just, for me, they can't be separated out.
That's right.
Yeah, and I would go as far as to say I don't think they can be, but we've done a very good job at trying to make people think they can.
Even at higher universities, where at Stanford, where I did my English degree, and I did a double emphasis in creative writing and in poetry, wrote a novella, and the department refused to give me honors credit. They said, well, we can't establish the intellectual rigor of your endeavor. I said, look, I've completed both of these emphases, and you've just negated the entire intellectual foundation for the study of your department and your careers. If you're saying like that students can't do it, but only if you've published and been successful. I mean, what's the basis there?
Yes. Yeah. Another big interest or area of interest of mine is different kinds of minds. And our traditional educational model favors one kind of mind, yet there are many others. And
that's right.
20% of people have dyslexia, for example, which
that's
is
right.
a lot of students who are being taught in a way that doesn't suit the way they think and learn. So I'm wondering whether the arts and a creative approach to learning could help bridge the gaps between different kinds of minds.
That's a great question. I think that even very young children, whether they have who are pre-literate and haven't yet learned to write, we often at Gateway will talk about drawing or talking or showing what you know in other ways besides writing the words out. So to your point, American education has always favored auditory, linguistic, and logical thinking over all other forms. That's where the emphasis is. And so I think there's a lot of possibility continuing for children up through the grades about, you know, show what you know in other ways, and that not the overemphasis on the written or the symbolic notation of mathematics as well.
Yes. Yeah. One of the greatest gifts of a good education is acquiring a love of learning, of investigating the world, being curious and thus motivated to explore. Because if you want to learn, then obviously it makes everything a lot easier. Do you think integrating the arts into education helps at all with engendering a love of learning or a more creative approach? Or how would you see that?
Yeah, often it does. Some children are passionate about music, and if you can find a way to bring music into the classroom, whether it's listening and music appreciation or expressing their understanding by writing songs, then that gives them an outlet where they feel their passion, their motivation can serve to reinforce the intellectual pursuit. It's, again, that emotional, the irrational, and the rational coming together that we were speaking of. For other children, it might be studio art, you know, whether it's dance. I think Harvard University, the Project Zero Institute, is a research institute that's done a lot of work on thinking about studio habits and developing habits of mind for what it means to think and work like an artist. And they specifically focus on visual art and have protocols and thinking routines that really help teachers bring visual arts into the classroom and help children start thinking about how do they talk about these visual arts as well and communicating about them and then also expressing themselves creatively.
And I think also, you know, what one might call a passive participation in the arts, you know, such as reading or watching a film or watching a play rather than being in, you know, acting in it or making it or actually writing the book, I feel is also really valid. I myself did a funded clinical research study looking at the effect of creative arts on health and well-being and performance and creativity in senior business executives. And I found a positive correlation to all those areas. And so I think also when people aren't looking, they look at the arts as like, oh, well, that's a career that's very hard to be successful in, so we don't really want to do that. But perhaps aren't looking at the cross-pollination or the other sort of more subtle effects, perhaps.
Yeah, well, where I think you're really going, Ruth, is to the idea of it, that our work is interdisciplinary. The work you do, that I do, that most people do, it is not based in a single discipline. Mathematicians are pulling from statistics, probability, geometry, computation, algebra, all these different fields. Writers are thinking about sentence structure, mechanics, diction, word choice, audience, all these different areas. Scientists have to be writers. Mathematicians have to be able to communicate visually. There are, I think that is a skill along with, you know, communication, collaboration, and critical thinking. Creativity is the fourth so-called 21st century skill, widely talked about as what will lead people to be successful, our children and their children and the next generation, to be successful in the next 90 years, 80 years of this century. And so recognizing interdisciplinary education for kids means looking deeply into two different disciplines and then having a project to really bring those in and express those. I've seen projects such as looking at the architecture of Morocco, sort of Islamic architecture, and it's incredibly artistic And it's incredibly mathematical and geometrical as well. And so being able to recognize how you can create lasting contributions to humanity through that interdisciplinary approach, which requires creativity and imagination, even if you're not specifically using a quote-unquote art form.
And to this point, I would say Gateway School is hosting the 2017 Santa Cruz Mini Maker Fair 2.0 from Vision to Reality. And the idea of the Maker Fair was originally launched by Make magazine, and now there are over 150 fairs around the world in over 30 countries. And the Maker movement's interesting because it's grounded in DIY technology, but it also involves creative skills in design and traditional arts and crafts techniques. So I would say that this is part of the whole interdisciplinary thing we're speaking about. So as an educator, what benefits do you see for students in the maker culture? Obviously, you're hosting this at your own school, Gateway. I'm assuming you think it's a good thing.
We do, and we have a maker space, and children are learning coding and programming and working with algorithms, and they're also learning to design and use technology, but they're also working with their hands to build and construct, as well as 3D printers. It's not about the tools. It's I would say making is really that DIY idea. The word agency is so important to me. The ability to have an idea and then have the knowledge and skills to find the tools and learn how to use them to help you bring your idea into reality. That's the point of making. And so making can be keeping bees and making honey, and it can be making candles. Homesteading is a great thread of making, and it can be designing video games and programming apps and programming robots. The technical sciences are a great thread of making, and it can be designing Rube Goldberg machines or creating art cars or making music. You know, these are all different aspects of making. And so what's beautiful about the Maker Faire is that we're combining all these different threads. So it's a curated process. We will have somewhere between 45 and 55 exhibiting makers. Last year we had a stage running all day. So there was comedy and magicians and blues music and marimbas. And then exhibitors, some are commercial vendors, but many are not. They're simply sharing what they've made, whether it's an art project or hands-on interactive making experiences for attendees. So there was a station to make paper rockets. We had a compressed air launcher, and so that you could build and design your own rocket and test out, well, what happens if I change the shape of the fins, or what happens if I reweight the nose cone? Really giving people the interactive experience of making, and then having the opportunity to talk to people who are making in the community.
Right. Well, it sounds fascinating.
You know, here in Santa Cruz, there are people making guitars and surfboards and skateboards. Mm. Oh, the outdoor lifestyle here is so strong. Music is so strong. Santa Cruz Guitars, obviously, is from here. But there's also a lot of technical companies. So Plantronics has come on board this year as one of our lead sponsors. We're very grateful. And talk about making. I mean, the things that Plantronics made has literally been to the moon.
Oh, my goodness.
Right? Their headsets have been to the moon. It's amazing.
So, it's on April 29th from 10 to 5 p.m. at Gateway School on the west side. Can people just turn up?
You can. There are a day of tickets. Will be available. Early bird tickets are available now. You can find all the information online at santacruz.makerfair. That's with an E. .com and links to tickets and all that. We have off-site parking since we don't want to impact the West Side neighborhood so much. So that's down at the end of Delaware Street. We're running free shuttles back and forth. There'll be a food court. We're going to have about half a dozen food trucks there. So come for the food, stay for the fair, is what I like to say.
Well, I don't know. It sounds like I would come for the fair and then be glad that there's wonderful food.
Yeah.
I don't think you have to sell it with the food. It sounds really, really interesting.
It's pretty great.
Yeah. So just give the website again.
SantaCruz.MakerFaire.com. And that's fair, F-A-I-R-E.
Great. So it's April 29th, 10 to 5 p.m. I will put this information on the website. So if you go to itsaquestionofbalance.com and go to the topics page, find this podcast, you'll find all the information there. Photos, etc. So go to itsquestionofbalance.com if you didn't remember that website because you're driving or whatever. So we're coming towards the end. I just wanted to ask you really briefly. Georgia O'Keeffe said, I found I could say things with color and shapes that I couldn't say any other way, things I had no words for. to me, art is fundamentally a means of communication. I'm wondering, do you think that arts can help people express and maybe even process difficult events, that they can be healing?
Oh, absolutely. And that's where art therapy, on a clinical level, there are people who are very well trained. And I think that's a beautiful thing.
Great. Well, thanks so much, Zach, for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Really interesting. You've really informed our topic discussion this week. Are the arts important in education?
Yes.
Unequivocally. Yes. So thank you so much for coming on.
You bet. Thank you.
We're going to go to a break now, but I'll be back with more conversations after the break. We'll be hearing from award-winning writer Betsy Franco and also from some of the student filmmakers who worked on Metamorphosis Junior Year.
Named Best Film Festival by USA Today readers, the Cinequest Film and VR Festival 2017 occurs February 28th through March 12th in San Jose and Redwood City. Here's co-founder of Cinequest, Kathleen Powell, talking on It's a Question of Balance.
You know, Silicon Valley is such a unique place. It's where creativity and innovation come together to empower, and that's our vision with Cinequest. This is where it all happens. We want every individual that walks through the door to feel like the value that they got far exceeds what they ever put into it.
Presenting Maverick Spirit winners Jane Lynch and Jason Reitman, 129 world and U.S. premiere films, the new virtual reality experience, and fabulous celebrations. For the complete lineup and tickets, visit cinequest.org. That's CINEQUEST.ORG.
Can you imagine living without stress, anxiety, or fear? And can you imagine a life filled with harmony and inner peace? Is that even possible? The Ananda Yoga and Meditation Center in Scotts Valley offers simple tools to help you become more effective at work and more centered in the face of life's challenges. At Ananda, we offer yoga classes for everybody, inspiring workshops, devotional chanting, and Sunday services based on the teachings of Paramahansa Yogananda. Our teachers and therapists are highly trained professionals who work together to inspire a healthier you. And your first Ananda yoga class is always free. Visit us at anandascottsvalley.org or call 338-YOGA. That's anandascottsvalley.org or 338-YOGA.
Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and our topic discussion this week, are the arts important in education? And thank you again to Dr. Zach Roberts, head of Gateway School in Santa Cruz, California, for his thoughts. Really enjoyed talking to him about what is the role of arts in education, and certainly had some very interesting things to say about that. So thank you again, Zach. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, a couple of weeks ago, I featured award-winning writer Betsy Franco and some of the high school students who have made a full-length feature film, Metamorphosis Junior Year, in collaboration with the actor James Franco. And the film is the first philanthropic event of the studio Elysium Bandini, which supports emerging artists. And Elysium Bandini brings together the Art of Elysium charity with James Franco's Rabbit Bandini production company. The film Metamorphosis Junior Year follows Ovid, an angsty teenage boy trying to make sense of life, love, sexuality and friends, and takes audiences on a journey through the mind as he analyses the world around him. The film is based on the young adult novel of the same name by Betsy Franco. Both the novel and the film demonstrate how powerful the arts can be in the lives of young people as they move towards individuation, perhaps in particular when struggling with difficult issues such as family troubles or maybe drug use or self-abuse. And both the story of the film and the actuality of the real-life students making a feature film relate to this week's topic. Are the arts important in education? So I thought I would feature some thoughts from Betsy Franco and some of the student filmmakers around this area of arts in education. So first, let's hear what Betsy had to say. One of my previous guests on the show, Azar Nafisi, has written a wonderful book, Republic of the Imagination, defending the need for fiction in education, and with a core curriculum that's emphasizing non-fiction reading and analytical writing over fiction and creative writing. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on the role of fiction in students' education.
Oh, my God. Okay. I walk to an elementary school every day, and I noticed that even in kindergarten, they're starting to have the kids write nonfiction.
Mm.
I mean, they always wrote nonfiction, but there's a special teacher. And I keep wanting to say, well, where's the special teacher for fiction? Because this is what these kids are all about. Any age, actually. It's like, I don't even know where to start on that topic. I think there's enough writing about nonfiction. There's essays up the kazoo. I think that fiction, oh my God, I don't even know where to start on that one. I just, I think that every kid, when they're born, is creative. Sometimes it doesn't get nurtured.
Yeah.
But if they're exposed to fiction and fiction writing or whatever form, filmmaking, whatever, it will come out. I just think everybody's got it.
Yes, yeah.
And I think, as I said, that it's very healing.
Yeah, yeah. This radio show, on this show, I'm very interested in the intellectual and the creative, you know, what some may call the left and right brain. And it seems often in life, creativity is separated out from what's termed more rational or realistic or intellectual pursuits. And I know for myself, you know, the intellectual creative is entwined. And you've said previously you see the world as logical and creative at the same time. So I'm wondering why you think there's this common divide between the arts and what are seen as practical real world pursuits. I mean, this speaks somewhat to my previous question of, you know, fiction's being pushed out because it's seen to be not practical, not, you know, going to get you a job or whatever. And yet the arts are like so important to everybody in their lives, you know, with film and TV and music. Do you have any thoughts about, you know, where that comes from? That's a very deep question, sorry.
I'm afraid sometimes my brain just turns off because I'm trying to solve some of these problems.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't know where it comes from. I'm trying to find the solution. Like, I haven't seen the audience for the film yet, but when we did the play, the community in Palo Alto, I mean, it was a sold-out play. It affected people tremendously. People of all ages were coming out emotionally affected by this play of Metamorphosis. So I'm trying to affect people and make them see that there isn't a divide.
Yes.
And that if their child wants to be an artist, that some kids really need to be artists. That's what they're here for.
Yes.
And then some kids need to have time to just have it be a hobby because it helps them.
Yes.
You know, they want to be an engineer, but there's another side of them that needs to be nurtured too, and that none of this should be discouraged.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm doing it through my stories.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
I'm trying to show the importance of depiction of creativity through my story, through my characters.
Right.
And also through, by working with students on these films, for example, and giving them an opportunity to show the community that this is a viable career, that they just made a feature film, that it is possible, that they worked really hard, and that's what it takes, and they're willing to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, they always say, show, don't tell, don't they? So what you're doing is a very powerful way.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, there is obviously a lot of research. I mean, myself, I did a funded clinical research study looking at the effect of participating in the creative arts on health and well-being and creativity and performance in high-level business executives. And, you know, I found that, you know, there's positive correlations in all those areas. So it's not just about being an artist either. I mean, I think there is a huge, you know, cross-pollination of the benefits of engaging in creative art across all careers as well, you know, mm-hmm. as it being important being an artist.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I took an acting class at Stanford Night School, and I'd say half of the adult students were engineers who had another side of themselves that they wanted to develop because they were missing it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and our topic discussion this week, which is, are the arts important in education? And I do have to declare a bit of a bias this week. I do think that the arts are important in education, but the aim of our topic discussion is to put people's views forward, and then whether you agree or disagree with them, I'm hoping that it will stimulate your own thinking and your own feelings about the topic. So we're pondering on, are the arts important in education? Thank you very much to Betsy Franco again there for her thoughts. And now let's hear from some of the high school student filmmakers of Metamorphosis Junior Year. There were about 40 students, high school students, who were involved in making this film along with industry mentors. The students that I spoke to that we're going to hear from are Alec Cohen, Sam Cook, Peter Gold, Dajiana Huang, and Zach Sanders. So let us hear what they had to say. Finally, you all went to Palo Alto, or go to Palo Alto High, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Half of us.
Well, yeah, we went to Gunn.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I know Palo Alto High puts a big emphasis on the arts. I don't know about the other okay. schools,
I think, I think all the schools in Palo Alto.
Yeah.
So I was just thinking, you know,
I think all school districts will put emphasis on the art if there's money, and I think Palo Alto has money, so we're able to emphasize on arts. I think it's not a priority in most school districts, but because we do have the money, we emphasize on arts, not because like it's put ahead of the STEM program or anything like that. Just we have the money, so we might as well.
So that kind of speaks to my question in a way. I mean, I was going to ask you how arts, you feel arts in education affects your life, but there is this sort of idea, like you're saying, oh, if there's money, it'll go to STEM, and then if we've got some extra, great, we'll put it in the arts. Why do you think that the arts is always conceived as being less commercial value, I suppose, or however you want to put it, less value in people's education and their experience? Because when you look at life, if you took art out of everybody's life, like TV, film, music, books, most people would have no life. So why do we not value it in that way?
Well, I think creativity can be subjective, and you know, you can make something, and some people are going to hate it, and some people are going to love it, and they're going to say you're the most creative person, or you're like you're a stupid idiot. And but whereas with kind of like stuff like IQ tests and SATs, it's putting a number value on you as a person based off your intelligence, and saying like literally however many questions you get right, that's like, you know, increases your odds of getting to college or whatever it is. And so I think people see that as more like, okay, like you're just a smart person because you have a high IQ, and so that that probably I can guess these things about you. But when you're an artist, it's like, okay, it's like, you know, a lot of the jobs are more broad, and it's like you may just stumble into them. And I feel like a lot of parents don't see, they think they're like, okay, you can get a business degree and like go and get any job, but it's like a business degree doesn't promise you more than a film degree. And like, you know, if you go to like American Film Institute, they have 80% of the people graduate from there like going into the industry. And so that's a factor that a lot of people don't realize, is it seems like, oh, my kid's an artist, like what, he's not gonna be a famous successful engineer, but like you could be like a $1 billion making like filmmaker. So it really kind of just depends on how you perceive it, but people like more certainty, not like ambiguity.
True. And just also I was thinking, you know, that, I mean, art crosses over into other fields. And so I know quite a lot of businesses have started employing MFAs rather than MBAs, because the MBA programs have got so kind of funneled and they're all coming out almost thinking the same. So if you have a more creative background, you can apply it in other areas as well. Is that something that you see as a crossover? I don't know what you were going to say, but...
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to take away from the core subjects that are very important. I think... knowing, you have to go to English class to be a good script writer, right? You need to know the English language very well. So I think the core subject in school should be emphasized more than art. Of course, art is important, and I want to go into the art industry. But at the end of the day, knowing these core subjects, I think, are probably very important to understanding how to use your mind. For instance, math helps you problem solve and things like that. So that's going to help you in the industry as well. So I don't know. I'd put an emphasis on the core subject over art in school.
Okay.
I think that creativity as a whole is kind of, it's always been really important, but I think especially now, and we're like right in Silicon Valley, where it's kind of like the heart of creativity mixed with like engineering and innovation. So I think that artists in the future are going to drive more. I think that as an artist, also a lot of people believe that the perception of it is that you want to make money. And I think that at least for me, it's more about spreading the message, like, and expressing myself and expressing what, like, my inner voice kind of. I think it'd be dope to be like a $1 billion filmmaker, or like producer, or whatever. Yeah, it'd be pretty dope. But I think getting the message out there and just like what you want to say is more important at a big platform.
Yeah. Dodge, you're kind of going back to what Peter said. I agree with what you said, but I think that art and core subjects should go hand in hand, and I don't think one should be prioritized over the other, because art, it's kind of like having all your ideas out like in this huge web. And I think what core subjects help you to do is kind of like to centralize them and help you narrow it down and give you a way to like express your thoughts and your creativity through a certain form or a certain medium. Like without English, for example, like you wouldn't be able to have poetry and express those thoughts and those feelings and those ideas. Yeah.
But also, if you think of someone like Einstein and the way he thought about the scientific ideas that he came up with, he used his imagination. I mean, there's that famous quote, which I'm not going to remember now, which imagination is more important than whatever it is, knowledge or something like that. I'll look it up. Yeah, but also I think, you know, the way you use your imagination and what you were saying about, like, about, you know, people can put numbers on your IQ. It's a very stereotyping way of looking at people, because, I mean, if you look at people with dyslexia, they often are not going to perhaps get the highest grades, and yet some of the most amazing minds, including Einstein and Niels Bohr, who was a physicist who couldn't even write his own papers, his wife wrote them for him, physically wrote them. You know, you've got all kinds of business people, Richard Branson, you know, I mean, just everywhere you've got these different kinds of minds. And so I think we also... maybe art challenges that a little bit, you know. Although you're then fighting the sort of soft idea of like, oh, you're doing art because you're not bright, you know. So that's why I was kind of asking your thoughts about it. But
I agree with Dodge in the fact that, in the sense that, like, art should be incorporated into our core subjects. But at the same, yeah, like, not one should be emphasized more than the other. But I'm in a pathway at school in which, in the core subjects, like social studies and English, we incorporate some form of art into what we do. So I guess I do. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Yeah.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. And our topic discussion this week, are the arts important in education? And thanks there to Alec Kern, Sam Cook, Peter Gold, Darjeana Huang and Zach Saunders, student filmmakers from Metamorphosis Junior Year. And it's been very interesting, I think, to hear firstly from the perspective of an educator, head of school, Dr. Zach Roberts from Gateway School in Santa Cruz, California, and then to actually hear from Betsy working with students and then students themselves about this subject, and some very interesting thoughts I think the students had there, some of which support what Dr. Roberts was saying about the need in the world today, and maybe always has been there, to have an interdisciplinary approach to education that allows both the imagination to flourish and our technical skills. You know, we do need to know how to do things and how to think in certain ways, but the imagination is also really vital in all of those areas, not just in doing a bit of painting or something, that the imagination is playing a huge part. And I was right about the quote from Einstein, is imagination is more important than knowledge. And if you think about, when I was talking to Dr. Roberts, we were saying what Einstein had to imagine in order to even conceive of his theory of relativity, he couldn't have done that without allowing himself to speculate outside the norms of the physical world. So I think that definitely, as far as I'm concerned, as I said earlier, I am biased on this. I think the arts are very important in education, but I hope listening that you have been given some food for thought, whether you agree or don't agree, that maybe it's sparked some particular thinking for yourself on this topic. And I just wanted to remind you again about the Mini Maker Fair at Gateway School on the west side of Santa Cruz on April 29th from 10 to 5 p.m. If you are local, that will be a wonderful thing to go along to. There's all kinds of creativity there, ranging right from tech, making code on, you know, computers, to actual making candles, you know, sort of every area that we could apply both imagination and technical skill is going to be represented there. So I think that's going to be a very interesting event. And also just wanted to say, if you've enjoyed this show, then you can go to the website, itsaquestionofbalance.com. And find more podcasts there of previous shows, previous guests. And you can also tell people about this show and recommend it to them if you enjoyed it. Thank you for being with me, and I look forward to being with you again next time.